Geocentric, Episode 21, Bloody Nate.
The far, far better rest I go to than I have ever known.
What danger is alive?
Intimate combat, toe-to-toe with the Ruskies.
Geocentric
is developing into a very bad habit.
You tell me that this sucker is nuclear?
Inconceivable!
With John Newman,
we have an obligation to fight them until they are banished from the page of time.
Not a finger!
And Nate Long.
I don't have a really good feeling about what's to come.
Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Welcome to Geocentric.
Yeah, welcome back, world, to Geocentric. This is John, and Nate is not with us this week because he has some sort of life-threatening illness that will undoubtedly take him from us for the rest of eternity, or perhaps not. Perhaps the symptoms that he has can be attributed to all sorts of other various non-life-threatening illnesses. Regardless, he's going to be my producer today. He's not going to say anything. He's just going to chill and sit back and hang out while he coughs up some more blood. But anyways, we're going to move along, and we have a few things coming up in the show today. But first of all, I'll tell you that it's not going to be as long as we usually do. I don't know if I'll be able to take things out to their normal length without Nate backing me up. But first of all, to get involved with the show, you already know you can call 206-337-1504. That is the number to leave us an MP3 comment, which can get played on the show. Also, you can send us an email, geocentric@inbox.com. And don't forget to visit the website, www.bringthemagic.com/geocentric. All right, so what's coming up on the show today? We have, for Streetwise, if you live in South Carolina, watch out for foxes, and that's all I'm going to say about that for now. Business, finance, and marketing, the MPAA, Motion Picture Association of America, sort of the counterpart for the movies of the RIAA. Of course, this is Geocentric. We can't avoid talking about them for too long before they get on our nerves enough to bring them back into the news. Are you kidding me? Nothing too new per se this week, but we will revisit a story from back in September that you may remember. So that'll be fun. Also, something cool for tech and entertainment. There's a little tiny mini laptop coming out. You may or may not ever see it in your lifetime. And also, a physicist at the University of Manchester in the UK found a way to use his guitar amp for subatomic physics experiments. So that'll be pretty cool. I don't know if you could hear Nate just from his little room over there just went woo woo or something. But he made a noise in response to that one. Also, for current international events, we got a couple of things. Two of our favorite propagandists, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Vladimir Putin, are back in our sights today, and we're going to tell you about some of the ridiculous stuff that they are up to today. So, without further ado, let's jump right into it. I mentioned that if you live in South Carolina, you ought to watch out for foxes. The reason I say that is because this week in Spartanburg, there was a fox that burst into a a youth program at a South Carolina church and started attacking people. The story comes to us from Fox News out of Spartanburg, South Carolina. It says, evening youth programs at a South Carolina church were interrupted when a fox burst in and attacked three people. The bite victims are now waiting to see whether they'll need to be treated for rabies after the Wednesday night incident. So this was on Wednesday. That would be 1 week ago from today. The Herald Journal of Spartanburg reported Friday that a woman opened the door of the Family Life Center at Liberty Baptist Church in Inman to lead youth group members to the main building when the fox pounced. So I guess the fox was just sort of... Nate, what does that sound like to you? The fox knocks on the door or something to be let in, or he's waiting in the bushes just for the... So the fox is just waiting for to get the door open to get into this church so he can start attacking and biting people, the animal jumped on the skirt of Pastor David Duncan's 20-year-old daughter, Alicia Duncan, and its teeth scratched her legs, and two other people were bitten. Several people tried to scare the fox outside and had to use metal chairs to hit it. Now, this is where the story gets sad. Officials say the animal was hurt when officers arrived, and it died shortly thereafter. The Department of Health and Environmental Control was conducting tests to determine if it was rabid, and we have not heard back to find out whether or not this fox was rabid. Now, those of you who have studied folklore, and I doubt that that's a large percentage of you, but being an anthropologist myself, I have studied folklore to some extent, and I happen to know that the fox is a very prominent figure in folklore studies. And those of you who have studied this are probably going crazy trying to apply what happened with the fox to this incident and your current folklore studies. And I won't go into it too much because for those of you who don't study it, may be boring, but the fox is usually your common trickster, and he fills this role perfectly in this story. And fox figures many times are insatiable in more ways than one, and looks like he couldn't get enough human flesh in this story. Anyway, the fox fits the bill, as usual. Before I move on to the next topic, we have the quick little weekly fail, and it's not a long fail, but it comes from Dear Abby, which is an advice column, and somebody wrote into Dear Abby and said, "I have a man I can't trust. He cheats so much, I'm not even sure the baby I'm carrying is his." Nate says, "Fail." I don't think there's anything that has to be said about that except for that this woman certainly ought to go on Maury Povich or Jerry. Hey, is Jerry Springer still on? Do you know? I can't help myself. I keep talking to Nate, but hold on, he's talking. Yeah, he said he actually stumbled across Jerry Springer today while he was sitting homesick. So that's cool. Business, finance, and marketing. What's that? I have to mention this because I just draw such a correlation today. Now, we've tried to remain a politically unbiased show on most issues. So when I say this, I don't want those of you out there who are listening to think that I am a hardline right winger, okay? Because I'm not. But you also shouldn't take that to mean that I'm a hardline left winger either. But Nate and I both deliberately try to consume media from many different sources, one of those being talk radio. And as you know, talk radio is heavily populated by right-wingers. At the same time, probably the majority of blogs and online media is put out by left-wingers. So we try to take in as much media from all sources as we can to try and find where the middle ground is and the both sides of the issues. And today, I really feel like, for those of you who are familiar, I feel like Rush Limbaugh with Mr. Snerdly. For those of you who don't know, Rush Limbaugh has a guy who just sort of sits in another room. His title, I think, is the official program observer. And basically, Rush will just talk, and every so often you'll hear him go, "What's that, Mr. Snerdly?" And then he'll tell you what Mr. Snerdly said. He's sort of this ghostly figure that never actually makes a real appearance on the show. But other than that, that's all I'll say about Rush Limbaugh. And I will move on to a story from Wired, blog.wired.com, about the MPAA. And as I mentioned in the What's Coming Up section, the MPAA is the Motion Picture Association of America. And we've done lots of stuff in regard to the RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America, on this show. We did a little skit about how they tried to shut us down, which wasn't true, obviously. It was just a little joke. But what they are is they're these bully enforcers of the industry. They try to attack poor defenseless people for breaking piracy laws and stuff. And if you're familiar with the show, you know how we feel about those guys. And so now we're going to focus a little bit on the Motion Picture Association of America. Anybody out there who's not living in a hole knows that we have a new president-elect. Barack Obama will be inaugurated this coming January, and the Motion Picture Association of America has wasted no time in trying to get in good with him. Now, personally, I don't know too much about Obama's stance on piracy and intellectual property and laws around those sorts of things. Nate may know a little more than I do. If he does, he's indisposed. And once again, I will apologize for that. I know I'm driving it into the ground that he's not sitting here next to me doing this podcast. But one quote that I do have from him is that he plans to reform the nation's intellectual property laws, quote, to promote civic discourse, innovation, and investment, while ensuring that intellectual property owners are fairly treated. Now, at face value, that quote sounds perfectly acceptable to me. Nate, what do you think? He agrees? It sounds okay, at least from that much. And he mentioned he doesn't know about Joe Biden's, though, and I personally don't know much about that. Perhaps when he's back in full health, we can talk some more about how the upcoming administration plans to handle the RIAA and the MPAA. But for now, to promote civic discourse, that sounds good. Get people talking. Innovation is good. All sorts of new forms of digital media, maybe. We can assume that means an investment. Of course, investment being people directly investing in companies. Not only that, but when I have a choice of media to buy, which company will I invest in when I make my purchase? For example, will I buy a piece of music, going back to music again, from iTunes, and have it be digitally rights managed so I can't do anything with it? Well, that depends on how much you want to do with it. But I can't do a lot of things with it. I ought to be able to. Or will I buy an MP3 version from Amazon and be able to do whatever I want with it because I purchased it fair and square? So that's the question. And at the same time, I think everyone agrees that intellectual property owners ought to be fairly treated. Now, as far as how far you want to take the definition of intellectual property could be another discussion in itself. But so we have that from Obama. Now, here the blog from David Kravitz, entitled "The MPAA Already Lobbying Obama" from Wired, says, "Hours after Obama became the 44th president-elect, MPAA Chairman Dan Glickman applauded the Illinois senator's victory. In a statement, Glickman said Hollywood, quote, stands ready to work constructively with Obama, the Obama administration, and the new Congress to revitalize our economy and America's place in the world," end quote. Now, that's sort of weird. I don't really understand how the MPAA is going to revitalize an economy and you know, restore America's place in the world. In fact, a lot of the less mainstream problems throughout the world with America, in particular those that are held by extremists, especially of the I always hesitate when I say this because I don't want anybody to think that I'm going against the religion, because I'm not. But, you know, the Islamic extremists, those people who call America the great Satan and stuff and don't represent the religion of Islam. Part of the reason that they don't like us so much is because of the material put out by the motion picture industry. Pornographic things and stuff that we wouldn't consider pornographic, but they do in their very fundamentalist ideas. So there's a lot of problems with America in that it is from many groups that hold that America is not conservative enough to other groups, the more mainstream European-based groups that will tell you America is too conservative. So basically we have to find this balance as a country. If we do remain the world hegemon, meaning the country who really sits at the top of the pecking order in the world, we're going to be criticized from all sides. But I really don't see personally how the motion picture industry is going to do much to revitalize our economy and our standing in the world. David Kravitz's translation of that quote was, "Let the lobbying begin." And it's true that with the election not even 24 hours old, we suspect Hollywood isn't the only lobbying front already struggling for the next president. However, the MPAA and its musical counterpart, the RIAA, began seeking the favor of the next president at the major party conventions 2 months ago. So these guys have been trying to cozy up to our up-and-coming president for a long time, and hopefully, with any luck, fingers crossed, knock on wood, and all that other superstitious stuff that Nate probably is doing right now, if he can manage to get off the couch, is we can only hope that President-elect Obama, when he does become president, will be intelligent enough to not give these guys any more leeway than they already have. He's going to be the first president who's going to select the, quote, copyright czar that we talked about a couple of shows ago, the new cabinet position that President Bush created. Some guy who's going to work directly with these nutcases in helping to get their agenda passed. So hopefully President-elect Obama will select an official who will not cater to them as they would like to be catered to. So, moving on. This is from the Are You Kidding Me section. And if you'll remember, back in September, we did a story. This took place in Washington about a guy who performed a bank robbery that was straight out of Batman or the Thomas Crown Affair are some movies that we've talked about. This guy, basically, to refresh you on what he did, he posted an ad on Craigslist for some construction workers. He needed some construction done. So what he did was he said, all right, he posted an ad on Craigslist and he said, this is what I need. I need construction workers to wear, I think it was like a yellow safety vest and, yeah, here it is, a yellow safety vest and a blue long sleeve shirt and safety glasses. And I want you guys to all meet me in this general area. And he had these guys come to supposedly meet him and get their job all over the certain area around this bank. So then what he did was when there was an armored car with all the money, if I'm remembering correctly, he jumped out wearing the same attire, the long sleeve blue shirt, the yellow safety vest, and he didn't hurt anybody. He didn't seriously hurt anybody. He sprayed one of the guys who was protecting the money with mace or with pepper spray, and he took the money and he ran off. And when the cops got to the scene, they had a description of a guy who matched a lot of other guys right there in the area because of the ad he had posted on Craigslist. So eventually they almost caught up with him, but he escaped down the Skycomish River, possibly on an inner tube, and disappeared. Well, the man has been arrested. And the reason we bring this up today is because, personally, I'm kind of disappointed that he didn't get away. Not that I advocate bank robbery, but this guy was just so cool. Like, you just don't hear this kind of stuff very often. So it's sort of disappointing that they caught him. But on the other hand, it's good that they caught him. We don't want people imitating this behavior and robbing banks and stealing my money and your money, right? So here is the story from SeattlePI.com. Police cracked the case with a DNA match from evidence left behind at the Brinks robbery site, and by reviewing a police report filed 3 weeks before the robbery about unusual items found behind a trash bin near the bank. In the earlier incident, a person noticed the items, including a safety vest, a two-way radio, a wig, and a large can of mace, and watched as a man drove up and took them. The witness jotted down the license plate and gave it to a city worker. Police traced the license plate to the suspect's wife, police said. We only had that report, and while it was unusual, we did not have a crime, Monroe Police spokeswoman Debbie Willis said. Then, when we were reviewing this case, our sergeant remembered the incident, so we went back to take a look at it. Police had been tailing the suspect Monday and knew that he would return to pick up his car in a Target parking lot, Willis said. The suspect has a history of minor crimes, such as prescription forgery, but nothing this, quote, significant, Willis said. Police think the suspect used a laptop and hacked into someone else's wireless signal to post the Craigslist ad, which he thought would help conceal his identity, again, Willis said. And it probably worked, too, at least fairly well, considering they didn't seem to have traced him through that. Instead, they found him through DNA evidence and a license plate number traced back to his wife. So I don't really know why he felt he had to leave these things like weeks in advance and pick them up. Seems kind of strange. If he hadn't done that, there wouldn't have been an earlier incident to trace the license plate to. And maybe if he'd, I don't know what sort of DNA evidence they had, maybe a hair left or something. It sounds pretty CSI-like, but they got him based on their... CSI Miami. Yeah, no, not CSI Miami. That's the one. What's that guy's name? And he Caruso? Is that what you said? David Caruso? Yeah, Horatio Caine. I'm talking about the actor, though. Is his name David Caruso? Something like that? And he puts on the sunglasses, and he's got that voice like, well, now they're dead. And he puts the glasses on, and he goes, "Woo!" And they play that song, "We Don't Get Fooled Again." Yeah, something, I don't know, maybe they caught him with similar methods that Horatio Caine would use. So now, before we jump right into tech and entertainment, I think it's appropriate to play for you our Tech Bite, our weekly Tech Bite, from Ethan Clark. So Ethan, take it away.
Thank you, guys. It's Ethan Clark for his Tech Bite of the Week. Target and Best Buy have some interesting gift cards this season. Target has created a 1.2 megapixel camera gift card bundles with a USB cord and 40 free prints from Target. Best Buy has created a speaker for a gift card that can plug into any 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. Verizon has officially announced November 23rd as the release date for the highly anticipated BlackBerry Storm. The new Research in Motion device has a quad band coverage, which will allow you to travel around the world and sports a touchscreen that is one large single clickable button. You can get your hands on one for $199 with a 2-year contract. And that has been Ethan Clark's Tech Bite of the Week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ethan, as always, for that Tech Bite of the Week. You do a great job. Speaking of touchscreens, there's a really cool super mini laptop that's coming out from a company in Korea. Basically, this little laptop is somewhere around the size maybe of a Nintendo DS. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, it seems to be, there's no specific dimensions that were given in the advertisements and the official release notes of this product. But it seems to be about the size of one of those smaller paperback books. Really tiny, like a bit, you know, bigger than your phone, but much, much smaller than a regular laptop. Basically, it's really cool. Inside, this is from Engadget.com. Inside, it can pack a 1.33 gigahertz Atom processor, a gigabyte of RAM, and up to 32 gigs of storage via SSD, meaning it can hold its own against the netbook hordes. So basically, the purpose of this thing would be mainly internet surfing and probably a couple other stuff, maybe a little bit of media viewing, nothing too fancy, right? Basically it's a mini netbook, which is exactly what you might need for travel or something, and seems to be travel sized. Not only that, it's built for travel by the fact that they included Wibro, WiMAX, HSDPA, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth connectivity. Many of you probably recognize Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and know what that is. I won't go into the other two. It's a little bit more on the techie side. Maybe too boring for some of you. So if you know what it is, then you know what it is. Otherwise, you'd be satisfied enough with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. It also has a 1.3 megapixel camera situated right next to a 4.8 inch 1024 by 600 touchscreen and can be yours running Windows XP, Windows Vista, or Linux. By the way, another reason to switch to Linux, which I'm planning on possibly doing in the near future, is that certain versions of Linux for certain purposes can now be booted entirely in 2 seconds. Nate, did you hear that? Imagine booting your operating system in 2 seconds. Unlike Windows, which takes about 3 years from the time you turn your computer on to the time it's ready to go. Anyways, let's go back over that just a little bit. This computer is really cool. 1.3 megapixel camera. That's formidable as far as built-in computer cameras go. And it's got a 4.8, so you can imagine about the size of this device now. It's got a 4.8 inch touchscreen. So when you measure screens, obviously you know that you go diagonally from, you know, bottom left to top right or whatever. You measure diagonally across, and then that screen sits in maybe within an inch space of buffer from the edges. So it's maybe something like from actual corner to corner, maybe something more along the lines of 6 inches. something like that. It's pretty small, very tiny, not for those with the fattest of fingers. But yeah, so 1024 by 600 pixel screen, which is not bad, not bad at all. And can it be yours for a certain price? Well, that's the catch. Nobody actually knows when or where it's going to make its first appearance or sale, or if it will ever show up in the United States, as opposed to Korea, where it was invented. I assume that would be South Korea. I don't know how much innovation goes on in North Korea under Kim Jong-il, which, by the way, this isn't one of the major stories today, but remember how we talked about Kim Jong-il may turn out to be totally fine, Nate? Well, there's some new evidence coming out that the photos showing him up and about are photoshopped and faked. Yeah, some more photos. That should be Military Photoshop Volume 3. So we'll see. For those of you who want to know about it, just go ahead and Google Kim Jong-il Photoshop pictures. You should find it pretty easy. It has to do with the way shadows fall and certain pictures of the background not being consistent. So look that up. We'll see whether or not that guy makes it. Anyways, moving on with tech and entertainment, I mentioned a guy, Andrew Murray is his name, a physicist at the University of Manchester, UK, and he is a rock guitarist in the meantime, and something about the combination of hobbies, physics, and rock guitar has led him to come across an innovation that has eluded his colleagues for a long time. Murray hacked his amps to produce a gadget that can hold atoms still while he bashes them with beams of electrons. Now, what you might use that for gets all science-y and even a little bit boring for me, and I like physics, but I'm not that deep into it. But basically, shut up. Sorry, Nate's calling me names. Basically, it has been possible in the past to either hold atoms still or bash them with a beam of electrons, but not to do both at the same time. But Murray has invented a way to use his amp to do just that. Basically, without going too much into it, it has to do with the funny thing is, this article was obviously not written by a rock guitarist, because he seems to use the phrase rock guitar amp and PA system interchangeably, which is not the case at all. Two very, very different things. But I'll just read to you what he said. It has to do with the speaker coil, so perhaps this is the cab to his amp. Or maybe this has to do something with the reverb that's in his amp. It doesn't mention what it's got, but basically your typical coil used by a physicist runs a direct current, whereas an audio speaker voice coil, which is what this article is calling it, is fed by an alternating current. And what that allows you to do is use alternating magnetic currents to hold the atom still, and if you switch them off just the right time, you can hit it with a beam of electrons, yada, yada, yada. Anyways, we just thought it was awesome that the guitar amplifier, or perhaps PA system, I really wish I knew which one it was, could be used for advances in physics. One more validation of music and rock. Moving on to current international events. First of all, we might as well talk about Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran. Now, this week, a Tehran newspaper, Tehran being the capital of Iran, came out with an article. They had Barack Obama, President-elect Barack Obama, on the cover, and it asked the question, quote, "Why doesn't Iran have an Obama?" Well, not too long after that, the paper was shut down. Surprise, surprise. The news magazine was called, let me see if I can pronounce this, I'm not fluent in Farsi, but it's something like Sharvand A. M. Rose, which means today's citizen. Supposedly, now they went too far for the hardline president, who quickly had Iran's press supervisory board ban the publication. This was reported to us by the Times of London, by the way. The closure of the popular reformist weekly suggests that Ahmadinejad is determined to silence his critics as he prepares for elections next June. Now, so far, he's only had one four-year term, and he's up for a second one. Obviously, he might want to silence his critics. If you've kept up with the podcast, you know we've talked about him a little bit before and the way he does propaganda, particularly the way he treats the media in Iran. And here just we have one more example of him shutting down a newspaper he doesn't like. On the note of... what's the word I'm looking for? Prominent propagandists. We come once more to Vladimir Putin. Now, what is he doing? Not necessarily propaganda per se, although this particular event ties in with the mass amounts of propaganda that the man pumps into his system on a daily basis, which even has a name given to it by the opposition, which is Putinism. Apparently, there's a sentiment of Putinism the opposition is trying to overcome. However, from Moscow, Russia's constitution will be amended by year's end to extend the presidential term to 6 years, lawmakers have promised. This to us from Fox News. It would be the first change to the Russian constitution since its adoption in 1993. Did you realize that, Nate, that this constitution has only been in effect since 1993? It was not long ago that the Soviet Union collapsed. Yes. So its first change since its adoption in 1993. Now, will this be a positive change? Here's what it's going to do. It's going to extend the presidential term in Russia from 4 years to 6 years. Okay? The respected business daily publication called Vedomosti, that's V-E-D-O-M-O-S-T-I, Nate. Vedomosti? Vedomosti, V-E-D-O-M-O-S-T-I, Vedomosti. All right, so we have confirmation from a guy who's fluent in another Slavic language and is sick, but I'm pretty sure that's right. Vedomosti quoted an unmarked Kremlin official as saying, Medvedev, who is the current president, may even step down as early as next year to get Putin back at the helm. Now, here's the thing. Putin served two consecutive terms, and you don't get to serve more than two terms consecutively in Russia. What he did was he moved from being the president to the current prime minister, which is where he is now, and he set up a little protege named Dmitry Medvedev, who is taking his place, so to speak, as the current president. Now, as Russia's president for 8 years, Putin had declined to amend the constitution to allow himself a third consecutive term or to extend the length of his term, the reason being it would have been an unpopular thing for him to do. So instead, Vedomosti said this unpopular task may have been given to Medvedev, a former law professor who professes deep respect for the law but is sort of, some say, just a yes man for Putin. One of these days we'll play for you the YouTube video, the propaganda song that came out, He Must Be Like Putin. It's sort of this, you know, Euro techno type thing that came out to just glorify him in everything that he does. Anyways, it would have been an unpopular thing to do while Putin was president, so he's perhaps passing on the task to Medvedev, who will do it, and at that point speculations are that he may step down, I believe I said, as early as next year, making it so that elections could take place in 2009, thus putting Putin in again for his third term, which is still okay according to the Constitution because it's not consecutive to his last two, and he would be in there again for 6 years. So let me just put this in perspective. So we have him as president for 8 years, right? And then we have him as the prime minister for a couple of years, and then we have him as president again for four more years. So that's a total of, 14, 15 years of this guy in the executive office? That's ridiculous. So The opposition, of course, is calling this extremely dangerous, and that's a quote from Boris Nemtsov, N-E-M-T-S-O-V, Nemtsov, is calling this extremely dangerous and is not happy about the idea. And he says it's directed at the perpetuation of Putinism, defining Putinism as corruption, inflation, and international isolation. So, when the news tried to, who did I say reported this? Did I say London reported this? The London Times. They tried to contact the Kremlin. They tried to contact representatives of Putin and Medvedev, none of which, of course, would speak to them on this particular matter. And so we will now see whether or not Vladimir Putin is able to retain his status as top dog in Russia. Is that dangerous? You can judge for yourself. Is that weird? And does it seem awfully similar to things that have been done by former dictators in Russia and other places? Yes, it does. Do you like Putin? That's your own prerogative. We think he's kind of crazy personally. Nate, am I going too far in the political stances of this show to say that we think Putin is probably not the best guy to have in charge of a country? Okay, Nate agrees with me. That's how we feel. That's the official geocentric stance. Nate called him a prune. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Prune is now going to be an official word on this show. If you miss this show, you may miss out on this. Prune is going to be a general derogatory word. It has no other definition in particular, aside from being a fruit that old people eat and drink its juice, than just that it is a general derogatory. Am I right, Nate, or would you like to attach anything else to that? He says it sounds good. So, we're going to say Vladimir Putin is geocentric's first official prune. There he is. He's a prune. He's nasty, nasty juice in that guy. But that's about all the time we have for today. Like I said, this was going to be a little bit shorter because Nate is sick. And we wouldn't want you to have to endure listening to my voice for too long just by itself. So once again, the number to get involved if you would like to comment on anything we said today or anything else of your heart's desire, call 206-337-1504, email at us, geocentricinbox.com. Remember, www.bringthemagic.com/geocentric is our website. From there, and also from iTunes, you can subscribe and listen to the podcast. Also from our website, you can link to the blog. And again, we are on the lookout for more contributors to our blog. We want some more posts coming up more often. So if you think you'd be a good blogster, I don't like the word blogger. Besides, it's associated with Google's blogging service, blogger.com, right? So I'm going to call you a blogster. If you think you'd be a good blogster, then drop us a line, drop us a comment, let us know. For now, I'm going to leave you off with music. The song is Coming Back to the World by the band Phone Calls from Home off their self-titled album. So you guys check them out. Make sure you give them their proper respects, download their music if they give it to you free, if you can find a place, or buy it if you like them. They're a cool band. But until next time, hopefully Nate will recover from his bloody illness, and we will be back in full force next week with some hard-hitting topics in our five awesome categories. But until then, later on.
Door closed, so she's all alone. Halfway through her sophomore year, the pressure's cut to the bone. Overwhelmed with the feeling she couldn't express, she paints red all over her fragile wrist. Does she think she'd be alright? Did she think she could live like this? So she prays to God. Hey! tries to break. It doesn't go away, her bubbles will stay.